matter. It's a fight. It's a struggle to get somebody cleaned up.
Right.
Verse number 6 of Colossians chapter 3. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. That word cometh is the main point here. There is a price to pay for all those that disobey. There is a price to pay. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. There is a price to pay. Verse 7, in the which ye also walked sometimes when ye lived in them. You walked in those things sometime when ye lived in them. But because you're dead, you're not living in them any longer, are you? Are you? You're not living in those things any longer because you're not alive to yourself, but you're dead. Oh, if we could just become dead men, dead women, and dead young people.
Right.
But let's face it, folks, we are all fighting to keep that old man.
That's right. Buried.
Oh, okay. I guess I'm preaching to somebody else here today, and they're not even here to listen. It's a day-to-day struggle to keep that carnal man.
Yes.
Buried.
Amen.
Paul names sensual sins in verse 3, chapter 3, verse number 5. But then he goes on to social sins. Do you see there those sensual sins, moral sins? Then we go into social sins in verse number 8. But now ye also have put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. We tend to be shocked by the first category and say, well, that's not for me, and I don't have any of those problems. And we just skim right over the second category. Well, got by on that one, and it happened to me. So, wait a second. Social sins. Paul begins to deal with it. Verse number 9, he goes on. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off. Everybody say, put off.
Put off.
Who did it? Who put it off? You. You put off the old man with his deeds. No, I'm not going and doing that. No, I'm not lying anymore. No, I'm not going to be full of malice and anger and debate and strife. I won't get rid of that fighting attitude.
Yeah.
And then we go to the sensual and moral sins. I'm putting off fornication. I'm putting off evil concupiscence, evil desires. I'm putting that off. You understand that again, and I want to stress this point, because so many people want to blame it on the devil, but Paul doesn't give you a way to even dare make it the devil's fault. Yeah, it's so easy to blame it on somebody else, especially in this day and age. Nobody ever wants to take responsibility for anything. Everybody else made you do it. It's everybody else's fault. It's everybody else's fault for everything that happens to you instead of your own.
Right. Yeah, right.
You got to take some responsibility.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you got to take responsibility when it comes to living for God.
Yeah.
The word put off and the word put on refer to a person changing as changing their clothes. Exchanging sin's grave clothes, if you will, for the resurrection robes of righteousness. What are you wearing today? Are you still wearing grave clothes? Or have you put off those grave clothes of sin and put on the robe of righteousness? Because of Jesus Christ. Verse 10 said, and have put on. Here's the word put on. So we just dealt with the put off. Now we're dealing with the put on. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So we put off anger, that is that attitude of resentment. We put off wrath, those sudden outbursts that are not controlled. We put off malice, that attitude of ill will toward another. We put off blasphemy, that is that speech that tears down another. You can't blaspheme. When you take the word blaspheme, I know everybody automatically wants to connect it with blaspheming the Holy Ghost, but you can blaspheme your brother and sister, which is to tear down your brother or your sister. Filthy communication, that coarse fleshly talk. Lying, that misrepresentation of truth, even though this is the problem that we have today with a lot of liars, is technically it's true. You ever hear stuff like that? Well, you know, because this and that, and they explain it in such a way that technically it's true, but still a lie.
Right.
They shade it. They twist it. They set it to askew to make it look right. Technically, there's some things. Or I heard somebody on the radio the other day said, two-thirds truth and one-third lie is still a lie.
Right.
And I thought, man, woman, you got that right. And she went on to say some of the things that were going on. They said, yeah, this is true and this is true. But when you say this, it's a lie, which makes the entire statement false.
Yeah.
And if we're not careful, we'll fall into the same trap as Christians saying two-thirds truth and one-third lie and believing it is true.
Right.
We got to denounce those things.
That's right.
Yeah. No, if it's not all truth, then it ain't truth.
Right.
Lord, help me, Jesus. We are formed in God's image. I've preached this before. Then deformed by sin. But we can be transformed through God's Spirit.
Amen.
If we are willing to be conformed to His image. And then and only then are we truly able to put on Christ. I'm already formed in the image of God, but sin has deformed me. Therefore, I need to be transformed so I can be conformed to His image. Oh, God, help each and every one of us to understand that. God's original plan was so divine. It was so grand. It was so perfect. But sin came into my life and made me all deformed and twisted and messed up my mind and my attitude and my spirit. It's deformed everything in my life. But oh, if I can just be transformed by His Spirit, I can put on Christ Jesus. If we go from there to verse number 11 through 14, let me read. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. I love this, I love this, I love this. Paul deals with segregation. Paul deals with those things, and I will tell you again that after service, Brother Pearson said to me, he said, I was so excited when the lights came on at prayer, and I turned around and I looked at this congregation and the ethnicity that was so mixed here. He told me, he said, I just preached it here a couple weeks ago to an all-white church, and I told them that you are not in the will of God because you're an all-white church, and this isn't an all-white church. He said, I got invited in the same state just a little ways down the road to an all-black church, and he said, me and my wife and one other person were the only white folks in that church, and he said, I got up and I said it again, God is not pleased with an all-black church.
Amen. Yeah.
Right.
He said, I'm not just preaching against segregation and racism and all those things, that this gospel is for every single creature. Amen. Every ethnicity, every race, every income. Amen. There is no separation when it comes to this gospel. Christ is all in all.
Yes.
And again, he says, put on, again, for the second time. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. He first tells us what to put off.
Right.
Aren't you thankful for that?
Yeah.
He tells us what to put off, but he doesn't just leave us there. He said, now I'm going to tell you what to put on, because we can't just take stuff off without putting stuff on.
Right. Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Amen. Or we're running around here naked.
There you go.
That ain't gonna work. You're going to be taking stuff off. You're going to push something off. It's just like this. You can't preach to people and teach people and tell them, you know what? You got to get rid of this and you got to get rid of that. And you can't wear that and you can't go here if they don't have something to replace it with.
Right. Hallelujah. Yes.
That's why we got to be careful. And sometimes even if they get the Holy Ghost for the first time, and they don't get rid of their cigarettes and their drugs and their alcohol, maybe their pornography or their television.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe they don't get rid of all that stuff. You know why? Because they ain't got enough Holy Ghost to counterbalance it all. And they're a bit used to those vices of the world. So you mature Christians that think you got it all together, don't forget how long it's taken you to get where you're at, and the vices that did have you bound, and you didn't get where you're at today overnight, but it's taken time, and the grace and the mercies of God. Don't expect it to be a perfect cookie cutter Christian. Yes, they got to put that stuff off, but if they don't have something to put on, what's going to be happening?
Right.
We can expect them to change. I get so aggravated sometimes. Try to clean the fish before you get them in the boat.
Right.
How stupid is that? You're going to descale the fish and gut the fish before you even get them in the bucket. How many of you have been fishing before and you got a fish on the line and you're already thinking about how it tastes? And you don't even know what you got on the line.
Right.
You don't know if you got a trout or you got a bass or you got a perch or you got what. You don't even know what you got on the line. You already got in the boat. It ain't in the boat.
Right.
And I've had so many fish on the line that I'm like,
Oh, man.
It's depressing. I'll never forget, my uncle got so mad at me. We were fishing the Crystal River, and I landed, it was big fish. Man, that thing just taking my line out, and I reel it in, and get it closer, and start flopping around about 20 feet out there. He goes, man, that's a giant. And I go, a giant what? He goes, I don't know. And flop around and go down and take my line out again. I'd reel him back in. Man, I fought that fish, We got it really close. And my uncle's constantly yelling at me, don't pull too hard, don't jerk, don't do this, pull, don't jerk too hard, pull. What do you want me to do? Just like some of us praying for somebody. We get over here and start praying for him and say, hold on. And get back up, get back here, get back here. I said, let go. And he said, hold on.
Come on. Hold on.
Push him this way. Let go.
Hold on.
Let go.
Hold on.
Let go.
Hold on.
We're trying to pray somebody through the Holy Ghost. They're going, what am I supposed to do? Let go or hold on? What am I letting go of and what am I holding on to? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Man.
That's the truth of the matter. They're so confused, they don't know. Man, these guys ain't. What am I supposed to do?
Right.
Sometimes we want to clean and we want to fix all this stuff, but it ain't time to clean or fix.
Right.
Get them in the boat. Get them full of the Holy Ghost first. Get them loving Jesus first.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, you get somebody full of the Holy Ghost enough, they'll get rid of stuff on their own.
Yeah.
They'll change on their own. Because the Holy Ghost has a whole lot more convicting power than you have in your mouth. Yeah. Can you tell them this? Verse 12 said, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy beloved, bowels of mercy. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long sufferingness. Some of us can say, okay, I got rid of all that, I got rid of all that. But have you put on this? If you haven't put this on, then you're naked. Right? You're naked and you're making a fool out of yourself because you're trying to tell somebody else how to live and you're standing there naked in front of them. They're going, really? Like, yeah, you're telling me to do this, and you're standing here naked. You're telling I'm talking about. You're trying to tell somebody else how to live, but you ain't learned how to live yourself.
Right.
You ain't put on bowels of mercy yourself. You ain't put on meekness and humility yourself. You ain't put on long sufferingness yourself. And yet you want them to change and get rid of what they got on?
Right.
Well, praise the Lord. Forbearing one another. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on. Now this is the third time he said put on. This is the third time he said put on. He only told us one time, take it off. But he's given us plenty of instruction about what we're supposed to put on.
Right.
How we're supposed to put on certain things. Amen. I believe there's some relevance there.
Yes.
Three times more should you be learning about what to put on than what to tell everybody to take off.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah. Well, glory. Which is put on charity, which is in the bond of perfectness. Because we have the privilege of having put off sin, we have a responsibility. It's a privilege to put off sin, but it's a responsibility to put on Christ.
Yes, right. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Come on.
It's a privilege to get rid of the sin. It feels great. Come on, somebody. Aren't you thankful you were allowed the opportunity to get rid of that stuff, to take that garment off, to get rid of that fornication, that uncleanness, those evil desires, that anger, that wrath, all that. Aren't you thankful that you were given the privilege to get rid of it? You didn't have to stay bound to it. I got a privilege to get rid of this stuff, but now I got a responsibility to put on some things. Ooh, hallelujah. I got a responsibility to put on mercy, kindness, so on and so forth. Let me back up just a moment. Bowels of mercy in the Greeks, the reason why that he said bowels of mercy, and he uses the word bowels, is because the Greeks would talk about their gut. Anybody ever heard this term? I just got a gut feeling.
Right. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Huh? Sure. That's what he's talking about. Deep down. Now, a lot of us now in our era or time or whatever, we talk about the heart.
Right.
I just feel it. Ever done that before?
Right. Yeah.
Or maybe not even motion it, but just something in my heart just says, not right. So we talk about that inner part of our humanity, of mankind. Amen. And so that's what Paul's referring to. Hey, there's something that's got to be down on the inside of you. So he talks about putting on bowels of mercy. Let it come from deep within that deep place. Not superficial.
Right.
Yeah.
Got it? It's not a superficial type of mercy. It's not a superficial type of love or kindness, but it's coming from right down deep, for real. Mercy, not giving one the consequences that they deserve. That's what I'm to put off.
didn't want that thing coming up though when I was preaching.
Put on bowels of mercy. There's got to be something that we put on this, even when somebody deserves those consequences. We say, forget it. Cancel the debt. Kindness, giving someone the blessing that they don't deserve. The Bible says, emphatically, kindness is moral excellence in character and in demeanor. Humility, not thinking poorly of oneself, but thinking of others first.
Oh, good. That's good.
Meekness, not to be confused with weakness, but having one's power under control. Meekness, having one's power under control. Or you can even say this, and this is not in a negative sense, so it's not to contradict what humility is, but to have a lower self-esteem. In other words, not to be arrogant and haughty, and you're always right and everybody else is wrong.
Right.
And if you don't do it my way, then you ain't done it. You ain't done it the right way.
Right.
The problem is that some of us don't see ourselves really for what we are.
Right.
And who we are.
Right. Yeah.
We don't see ourselves as being that one that has always got to be right, that it's always got to be my way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've got to be careful of that, because that is not a spirit of meekness.
Right.
I'm supposed to put this on. I'm supposed to have my power under control. And not always have to be right. And there's something very powerful about not having to be always right. That you can just let it go. And even if they're totally wrong, and they find out someday, you know what? And I've had this happen to me before, where I thought that I was right, and I realized later on, I wasn't as right as I thought it was.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I wasn't as right as I thought it was. The Bible even talks about every man is right in his own eyes, but his neighbor seeketh him out. We've got to be careful there. We're putting on meekness. I don't always have to be right. I don't all. And so,
let me go back to this. And I know there's only so many messages that I've been preaching here lately. Love, mercy, and grace, forgiveness. I know. That's all I've been preaching. I understand. So I'm going to just continue to preach it until God's done.
That's right.
Yeah, it's monks.
Good.
Monks.
Okay.
We're happy with it.
Let me go on here just a little bit further. I'm going to come back to this point. Just a minute. Long suffering. That is to have a long temper. Or to relay. Delay, the ability to delay, let me say it that way, the ability to delay a reaction. The ability to delay a reaction. I may be able to say something right then, but if I'm putting on long-sufferingness, I'm gaining the ability to delay my reaction. Instead of just firing off and saying something, that I'm holding it back.
Yes.
Good.
Thinking about it. Is this really going to be beneficial for this conversation? Is this really going to help the matter? But sometimes we took off humility and ran back over there to the other closet, put on wrath, and said, "You know, listen to me. I'm going to tell you how the cow ate the cabbage." Now, there may be a time that you got to say things that you need to say, and I understand. But if I'm putting on Christ, I'm putting on these things. Therefore, how many times have I said it here lately? These are things that we got to practice. They are things that do not come natural. None of these are natural inside of me. None of them.
Right.
None of these are my first nature. Absolutely. And some of y'all can say, amen. That's right. That's for sure.
Right, that's what you preach before you try to tell me anything.
Well, that's fine. That's what you want to look at. That's fine with me. I don't care. I'm still striving.
Right.
I know I am.
Amen.
That's why I even said the more I read this Bible, the smaller I become.
Right.
The more I wonder, God, what were you thinking? And I don't mean that in a negative way. I just go, God, I don't understand. You called me into this? I am so far. But you know what? That's why God used Moses so much, too. It's because Moses thought so little of himself that God said, I can use this.
Right. Yeah, right.
I can use this because he doesn't think he's got all the answers. He doesn't feel like he's got every way that he says is right.
Right, right, right.
Even though he was the one that wrote the law and made the standards and set rules and so on and so forth, he did it in such a way of such superior meekness. It was incredible. Make people want to do it. Forbearance, to abstain from enforcing one's right. Forbearing is to bear with, endure, or suffer. Are we forbearing one another? And forgiveness, simply to cancel the debt of another who has wronged you. Graciously pardon and restore. So he says all of these things you got to put on. And then at the end, for the third time, he says, put on love. Put on charity. Which is the ultimate mark of maturity. That perfectness equates to maturity. That ultimate mark of maturity is that you love one another. Wow. And then in the Message Bible, a different version of this, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. I like this. Let me just give it to you for your thoughts and your consideration. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than itself. Love doesn't want to what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut its stuff. I mean, this is kind of the way I talk. It doesn't have a swelled up head. Doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of others' sins. Doesn't reveal when others fail.
Come on. Yeah. And that's love.
That's love. Doesn't reveal when others fail. Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Puts up with anything. Trusts God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back. But keeps going to the end. That's good. That's what love does. That's what maturity does. So I can't be perfect. Well, this is what we're striving for. This type of love. This is what I want to be. Is everybody at where they want to be right now?
No.
No. What am I doing? I mean, even today, I'm saying, here's the prize. Here's the ultimate. Here's the goal. And I got to put off some things, but I got to put some things on. Or I'm just going to be standing around naked. Everybody's going to be making fun of me because I'm going to tell somebody about something that I'm not doing myself.
Right. Hallelujah.
3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. To the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. When it said, let the peace rule, do you realize what that rule means? It means umpire. Let the peace of God umpire. Let him referee in your heart.
Yeah. That's good.
You're out!
Yeah.
Strike! Ball! Woo! Man, you hit that one out of the park. That's a home run.
That's good.
Right.
Let the peace of God dictate or say, nah, that was a bad deal. Don't do that. Nope. That, woo! Man, that was a double. That was a triple.
I like that. Yes.
Oh, thank God. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Lord, for telling me that was the wrong way to respond to that.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Yes. Okay, thank you, peace of God. I'm glad you're dwelling in my heart right now because I realized that was a dumb thing to say.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hey, bro. Sorry, that was stupid.
Yeah.
The peace of God just told me, ruled, umpired, and said that was a foul ball.
Right, yeah.